This segment is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Visit them on the web at sectorspiders.com or call 866-SECTOR-ETF.
Tired of being in the dark about your investment? How does your portfolio's performance really measure up? Is your investment plan on or off track? Get the answer at portfolioreportcard.com. Ron DeLegge's grading system of A, B, C, D, or F will tell you if your 401k plan, IRA, or other investment account passes or fails. But that's not all. If your portfolio gets an A, Ron will pay you $100. Go to portfolioreportcard.com and find out if you pass or fail.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
What does a $26 million portfolio look like? Well, you're about to find out on today's program. I'll be doing a portfolio report card for GG in California. He's 72 years old. He's married. And he's got a $26.9 million portfolio, to be exact. And I'm going to dissect his investment portfolio on today's show and tell you if it passes the grade or fails. Also coming up, we'll give you a recap of what's happening in financial markets, keep you abreast of the very latest. If you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, or investment strategy, 844-305-7800 is the number. Again, 844-305-7800. Give us your first name along with your city and your ticker symbols, and I will get to you. If you want to tweet the program, you can do that. At Index Show is my Twitter handle, at Index Show. And if you'd like to get a portfolio report card where I analyze and grade your investments and tell you if you're doing well or not doing well, I diagnose the health of your investment portfolio, go to portfolioreportcard.com. Now, there are certain things that you're going to hear on today's show that are shocking and at the same time beautiful. This portfolio that we're going to dissect on today's show falls into those two categories. It's both shocking and beautiful, and you are in for a treat on today's show, let me tell you. Now, full disclosure, just because someone has a lot of money does not necessarily mean that their money is properly invested. Let me repeat that because that's pretty important. Just because someone has a lot of money does not necessarily mean that their money is properly invested. In other words, a big portfolio in itself does not automatically make it a good or healthy portfolio. If it flunks when it comes to minimizing cost and minimizing taxes, controlling risk, being diversified, and having satisfactory performance results. That is the criteria that I use to judge whether an investment portfolio is healthy or sick. I really don't care how large or small a portfolio is. That criteria is always the same. And that's what the portfolio report card that I invented, that's what makes it such a powerful analysis or diagnostic tool, because it works on any size portfolio. $26 million, $26,000, $26 billion. So we're going to get into this portfolio on today's show. I'm going to share with you what the holdings are in this $26 million portfolio. We're going to look at those five grading categories: cost, risk, diversification, tax efficiency, and performance. And at the end of today's show, GG will get a final grade of A, B, C, D, or F. Does he pass or does he fail? Now, if he gets an A, I call out the portfolio report card marching band, and they're going to play their music. He also will get paid $100 by me. Not that he needs $100. Heck, he's got $26 million. But if he gets an A, I will pay him $100. will add the $100 to the $26 million kitty. So you're in for a treat on today's show. Now let's take a quick look before we get into that and see what's happening in financial markets around the globe. Now let's begin here in the U.S., where we're in the midst of earnings season. Now, about 40% of S&P 500 companies have reported results for Q1, or first quarter. Blended growth rate for S&P 500 companies' earnings per share is currently at 2.8%. It's slightly better than what was expected at the end of the quarter. And in addition, 73% of companies that have reported have beaten consensus earnings per share estimates, and that's a good thing. We also see the technology sector taking off. Some of those stocks within XLK, XLK, by the way, tracks S&P 500 technology stocks, and included in that ticker are companies like Microsoft and Google and the whole bunch. Some of those companies taken off. Apple's another one. So we see XLK ahead on a year-to-date basis about 4.7%, but we saw a nice pop there in some of these individual names. Microsoft jumping 15%, Google up almost 8%, and then, of course, Apple up almost 4.5%. So this is what's going on. We see technology leading, and that's been a very, very good performing sector. Now, in terms of other areas, we take a look at international markets, which have been blazing saddles. International stocks, VEA, and emerging market stocks, VWO, ahead by almost 12% since the beginning of the year and easily outperforming U.S. stocks. U.S. stocks, by the way, ticker symbol VTI, ahead by just over 4%. So we see outperformance by international and emerging market stocks. And then in the terms of bonds, total U.S. bond market, ticker symbol BND, ahead by just under 2%. And then real estate, also known as REITs, ahead by 2.5%. And then gold, ticker symbol GLD, down about 0.5% on the year. We see that strength in stocks, not good for gold, which is a defensive asset. So will there be more downside in gold? We will have to see. Certainly if stocks continue to rise as they have, that won't be a good sign for gold. So we'll get you caught up on what's happening sector-wise. We already told you about technology, but there's a few other sectors that I need to tell you about, and we will get into that. If you'd like to join us to talk about your own portfolio or a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, or investment strategy, 844-305-7800 is the number. And again, this is the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. I'm here every hour, every week at this same hour, talking about the birds and the bees of successful investing. And this is what it's all about. It's about having a framework for success, a blueprint for building a rock-solid investment portfolio that helps you to get ahead. And that's what this program stands for. Now, I should also disclose that we are celebrating 10 years. 10 years, this will be in May, of existence. Yes, it's hard to believe. The Index Investing Show will be 10 years old in May. And I am really proud of that. There are a lot of people, a lot of doubters, a lot of haters that said to me that this show would never last. And I'm proud to say that they've been wrong, dead wrong. So that is, of course, because of you. It's because of our sponsors like Sector Spider ETFs, as well as Direction Shares or Direction Investments. Those companies have been staunch supporters of what we do here at the Index Investing Show. And so I certainly encourage you to visit their websites as well as use their financial products because, well, we're on the same page. Now, we're going to take a look at this $26.9 million portfolio on today's show. This is from GG, and I'm going to give you some background about GG. He's a 72-year-old retired attorney. He's located in California. He's married, and this $26.9 million is spread across three family trust accounts worth $23.2 million and one traditional IRA account valued at $3.7 million. And when we add that all up, we come at $26.9 million. 33 individual stocks, one ETF, and some cash. Does it pass or does it fail? We're going to dissect this portfolio on today's show. My name is Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show, and I'll be right back. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, so let me tell you a little bit more about GG. As I was explaining, 72-year-old retired attorney from California, and he told me that his investment strategy is to buy companies and stocks who he believes have a future. And so that's what he's been doing for most of his life, aside from working, investing in individual stocks. Now, GG, I should also mention, is a low-frequency trader. And a few stocks inside this $26.9 million portfolio that he owns, like Apple and Amgen, he's held these companies for more than 24 years. Now, more on that in a minute. GG self-manages this money. Although he has access to financial advisor, he listens and pays attention to nobody. He listens to nobody's advice because he's a wild Mustang. And investment portfolios, I can tell very quickly by just looking at the holdings, the personalities of the individual come out. And in this case, you're going to see a lot of personality in this particular portfolio. It's, again, three family trust accounts worth $23.2 million, and then a traditional IRA worth $3.7 million, three individual stocks, and one ETF. And so let's take a look at the first grading category, which is cost. Now, all well-built investment portfolios deliberately minimize investment costs to the greatest degree possible. Now, in order to accomplish this such a crucial mission, what an investor should be doing is minimizing to the greatest degree possible their fund expenses. This can be achieved by owning low-cost index ETFs. That's a natural choice. It's also accomplished by low-frequency trading. In other words, not buying and selling constantly, because every time you do that, it creates frictional costs like trading commissions, as well as, if you have short-term capital gains, a higher tax rate, which over time erodes your money. So in this case, GG is what we would call a low-frequency trader. He doesn't pay any financial advisory fees, although he does have access to an advisor. And he has done an excellent job at minimizing investment cost. He's not a trader. And he's accumulated these holdings. He's amassed these holdings over the past two decades. So in terms of cost, this portfolio does an outstanding job at minimizing cost. In terms of diversification, now, the portfolio has exposure to individual large cap international and U.S. stocks. We all already mentioned Amgen and Apple are among his two largest holdings. Around $12 million alone are committed to Apple and Amgen. But those are not the only holdings. He also owns Biogen. He also owns Frontier Communications, ticker symbol FTR, Telefonica, ticker symbol TEF. These are some of the stocks that he owns, along with some blue chip names, familiar ones like Diameter, Deere & Company, Dow Chemical, Home Depot, Honeywell, Merck, Pfizer, Royal Dutch Shell, Schlumberger, and so forth. So he's got mostly, again, large cap stocks. That is the orientation of the portfolio. And so he does have exposure to this important asset class along with cash. So good job. At the same time, GG's portfolio is highly concentrated in individual stocks. It's not very well diversified. Apple and Amgen alone account for around $12 million in the trust account. That's pretty shocking. Very concentrated. So the good news is those stocks have done incredibly well. The bad news is if they don't do incredibly well, this portfolio will get slammed. Also, the combined portfolios, when we look at to see what asset classes they are missing, I've identified three. There's no exposure to global real estate. There's no exposure to commodities. And there is no exposure to bonds. So those are three major asset classes missing. You might also say domestic real estate. He's got no exposure there. So in terms of publicly traded REITs. So those three areas are missing from GG's $26.9 million portfolio. So he needs to obviously, if he's going to have better diversification, lighten up on some of those individual stocks because, well, this is a very concentrated portfolio. And by the way, it hasn't hurt him, which is kind of a paradox. And that's one of the great paradoxes of investing is that the same formula that he has for success, concentrating his money in just a handful of stocks, is also the same formula for failure, concentrating your money in a handful of stocks. Because at some point, and he knows this because I talk with him and he's even admitted, there's been certain periods when he's absolutely been crucified by this particular strategy, namely 2000 to 2002 and then 2008. This portfolio was crucified because of its concentration. So in terms of diversification, GG definitely needs to do a better job. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. 844-305-7800 is the number. I'm doing a portfolio report card for GG. He's 72 years old, married. He's retired. And we're analyzing and grading his $26.9 million portfolio. And for those of you that, and I know there's a few hecklers and doubters who erroneously believe that the portfolio report cards I do on this show are done on fabricated money. Well, you're dead wrong. And later this week, I'll be publishing all of the key holdings from this particular portfolio. I'll be taking them directly from the account statements that GG submitted to me and prove to you that all the portfolio report cards I do, including this one you're listening to, are from real people with real money. In other words, people just like you that have gone to PortfolioReportCard.com and taken that initial step and made the official request to get their portfolios analyzed and graded. And from that point, then I can begin my analysis, dissecting the data. And so that's how we do this. And GG should be congratulated because he took the steps. He made the initial request at PortfolioReportCard.com. And he followed through. That's something that some of you don't do, is it? We're going to take a look at a couple of other areas, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. And then we're going to give GG a final portfolio report card grade of A, B, C, D, or F. Well, he started out pretty good so far in terms of minimizing costs. Diversification was not so strong. Definitely has to make some improvements there. But we'll take a look at these other major and key grading categories, risk, tax efficiency, and performance, and see how he does. Now, in terms of industry sector performance within the S&P 500, some of those other industry sectors besides technology that are doing very well, XLV, which tracks healthcare stocks like Merck and Pfizer and Amgen, which we've been talking about, XLV ahead by 9% since the beginning of the year. Healthcare stocks continue to sizzle up. In terms of underperformance, utilities, XLU, and financial stocks, XLF, down around 2 to 3% since the beginning of the year. Those two sectors are underperformers. And we'll get you caught up on the rest of financial markets and what's going on. Again, if you'd like to join us, 844-305-7800. Again, this is the Index Investing Show. The May ETF Profit Strategy Newsletter is out. If you don't have a copy, I encourage you to go to etfguide.com and get it. And you will also be filled in on our latest income trade for May, which generated just over $700 of monthly income. So go to etfguide.com. I'm Ron DeLegge, and I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
So, this portfolio report card that I'm doing on today's show for GG in California, he's 72 years old, retired, and this is a $26.9 million portfolio. And any listeners who are tuning in to the show that have a portfolio where they're uncertain of what's really going on inside of it in terms of cost, in terms of risk, diversification, taxes, and performance. And if you're working with an advisor and you're not getting answers from that advisor about what's really happening with your investments, go to PortfolioReportCard.com and get in touch with me. And I will analyze and grade your portfolio, diagnose it, and tell you if it's helping you or hurting you. Now, full disclosure, GG is an absolute outlier. He is an exception to the rule, not the rule. Now, his two largest holdings are Amgen and Apple. Now, what I'm about to tell you is completely shocking, but he did it. It took him 28 years. And his cost basis on Apple and Amgen, he turned $95,000 initial investment into $12 million. It's incredible. That's the sort of record, that's the sort of rare feat that you do not see even among professional investors, much less individuals like himself. And I repeat, GG is an outlier. He bought Apple three times. He bought Apple, the first time was in 1991 at $1.50 a share. He bought Apple again in 1998. And then he bought it one final time in 2001 and hasn't touched it since. His cost basis in Apple is $81,000. And he converted that $81,000 into over $8.5 million. Just incredible when you think about it. And so there's some serious lessons to be learned by what GG has done. I mean, the biggest lesson that I see in this is the fact that he's been just such a contrarian investor. GG bought Apple at a time when it looked like the company might fail. In the 1990s, when GG was buying Apple, it was not the stock to own. It was Microsoft, it was Intel, it was IBM, it was Cisco, Dell Computer, Hewlett Packard. Apple was the ugly stepchild. Yet GG made a huge gamble that eventually paid off. Now, it doesn't always pay off, but in this case, it did. More times than not, it doesn't pay off. But GG, again, is an outlier. And lest I remind you that this is a company that nobody wanted anything to do with. Steve Jobs got kicked out of the company in the mid-90s. He wasn't even running the company. And yet, he continued to hang on. The other thing, too, is GG has what I might classify something close to celestial patience. He bought Apple. I mean, the first purchase that he made in 1991 was $1.50 a share. 10 years later, that stock was worth less than what he bought it for in 1991. Isn't that incredible? I think that's the most amazing part of this, is that he held those shares in Apple for 10 years, and he had lost money from his very first purchase in 1991 all the way to 2001. Apple, 10 years later, was worth $1.16 a share, less than the $1.50 that he paid, and yet he held on. And in fact, in September of 2001, he bought more. Now, that's patience. That's the type of patience that world-class investors have. Now, you also say to me, well, he had to be an insider. He absolutely had to know something. Well, no, he didn't. He's not an insider. His wheelhouse is the field of law. He's not a biochemist. He's not an IT specialist. And IT is not his wheelhouse. He told me the only reason he kept buying Apple, by the way, is because he thought that they would someday be bought out by IBM. Well, he was wrong about that, but again, he's an outlier, so being wrong didn't hurt him. Now, in terms of the risk of the portfolio, one of the things that I always look for in grading and analyzing an investment portfolio when it comes to risk is to make sure that the orientation of the portfolio, the risk character, is compatible with the individual. And not just how they describe themselves, but also their age. Now, I do this by asking some carefully framed questions, and I asked GG what his main investment goal is. And he told me, quote, to protect capital and to earn a modest income with some growth, end of quote. I also asked him that on a scale of 1 to 10, how would he rate his risk tolerance, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest? He told me he's a 7. And he also told me that one of his other investment strategies or goals is to receive a moderate return over the rate of inflation. Well, it's fair to say that with those two investments alone in Apple and Amgen, he's completely assassinated inflation. He also told me that he lives off real estate income and that the money he's amassed is for the next generation. And he also, by the way, fantasizes of having a ranch. Now, the overall asset mix for this $26.9 million portfolio is the following. 99% stocks, 1% cash. Now, is there anything missing here that or seems that doesn't fit in? He's 72 years old, right? And he just told me that he's trying to protect his capital and earn a modest income with some growth. Well, a 99% equity or a stock allocation is not what we call protecting your capital. This is a hyper-aggressive asset mix that's growth, 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 and it's hyperactive or hyper-aggressive, rather, for anyone at any age, especially a 72-year-old investor. It's not age-appropriate. And if we just look at this in terms of dollar amounts, because I want to help you understand the magnitude of the type of risk that GG is taking right now with this current asset mix, a 20 to 40% market decline would subject the combined portfolios to potential market losses of $5.3 to $10.7 million. Yikes. That's a pretty big hit. Now, you may say, well, it's a $26 million portfolio, Ron. He can afford to take a $5 to $10 million hit. Just because he can take that kind of risk doesn't mean he should. It's like jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. Just because you survived the fall one time doesn't mean you should try it again, much less make a regular habit of doing it every day. And when you've got a $26 million one asset class portfolio, as GG does, you're jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge pretty much every single day. That's what GG is doing, and so far, it's worked like a charm. But one day in the future, GG's luck will run out. And that's the paradox of GG's investment success. Again, is that concentrating his money in just a handful of stocks, winning stocks, has been his formula for success. And that's the same formula that will lead to his failure. Now, he's already admitted this to me. He's already been through several market crises and market crashes. 1987. What about 2000 to 2002? What about 2008? He knows this. It's not shocking. He's suffered this pain because he's ran with this type of all-equity portfolio for basically half his life. But now he's at a different point in his life. Now he's got to turn away, not completely reject growth, but now he's got to become a better protector of his capital. He's got to become more defensive. Now it's not about making money. Now it's about keeping money. And that's half the battle, right? Keeping what you make, not just making and trying to make more. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show, and I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
So if you're just joining us, we're doing a portfolio report card for GG. He's a 72-year-old retired attorney located in California. He's got a $26.9 million portfolio that he submitted to me at portfolioreportcard.com, and he wanted to be analyzed and graded. He's seen me do this with many, many other investment portfolios, and so he wanted to test me. He wanted to see if his $26.9 million portfolio passes or fails. And what's interesting about this, I've already delivered the report card to him. It's a one-page report. And what's so intriguing to me about this portfolio report card methodology that I invented is that no matter how large your portfolio is, the analysis is always on one page. So if your portfolio is $26 million, $26,000, $26 billion. Really doesn't matter how large it is or how small it is. It's always a one-page report in these five crucial areas: cost, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. These are the only five things that matter. Nothing else matters after these five things, because that's really the essence of what great investing is all about. Now, as I just explained to you, the overall asset mix for this $26.9 million portfolio, he's 72 years old, he's got 99% exposure to stocks. And I just explained to you that a 20 to 40% market decline, and it has happened in the past and it will happen again in the future, would subject his combined portfolios to potential losses between $5 to $10 million. That's a pretty big hit. Now, some of you, again, may say, well, you know, he's got a $26 million portfolio. He can afford to absorb those types of losses. Well, let me break it to you that no one can afford to absorb those kinds of losses, a $5 to $10 million hit. And what I'm trying to say to you is that the larger your investment portfolio becomes, the larger the stakes become, the greater the need to have a margin of safety built into your portfolio. And this portfolio is not compatible with how he described himself. He described himself as an investor that wants to receive a moderate return over the rate inflation. This is not a moderately designed investment portfolio. This is a radical growth portfolio, and it's not intended to protect capital. He said that was one of his main investment goals, to protect capital. When you're running around with 99% exposure to individual stocks, you're not trying to protect capital. You're trying to grow capital. And so this portfolio, this $26.9 million portfolio, flunks when it comes to risk. Now, in terms of tax efficiency, GG has done an incredible job at minimizing taxes. Now, I already told you he's not a very hyperactive trader at all. He trades very infrequently. And in his Amgen and Apple stock alone, he has $11.9 million of unrealized long-term capital gains. Isn't that just incredible? The current value is in the vicinity of $12 million, and he's got $11.9 million unrealized. I mean, this is like finding a Van Gogh in grandma's attic. This is so rare. It's a beautiful thing to have unrealized long-term capital gains of this magnitude, and he has done an overall outstanding job at minimizing the threat of taxes. Now, that's one way to minimize the threat of taxes. Now, another way is to own tax-efficient investment vehicles. Now, in this case, he's using individual stocks, but if we're using mutual funds or ETFs, well, we want to use, obviously, index funds, which have done a great job and will continue to do a great job at minimizing the negative impact of taxes. So that's a simple strategy that all of us can apply. Now, the last grading category is performance. Now, the combined portfolios, and we just look at this over the past year, the combined portfolios grew $7.2 million, or 37%, over the past year. How did that compare to our index benchmark, which matches up with GG's same asset mix? Well, our index benchmark gained 15.3%. He blew away the index benchmark by a whopping 21.6%. And needless to say, his performance has been lights out. It is what we would call or refer to or classify as satisfactory. So excellent job. And GG's final portfolio report card is a B, which is a good score. GG scored best in the following categories: minimizing cost, minimizing tax efficiency, and performance. However, this portfolio flunked in the risk category, and likewise, a lack of exposure to major asset classes like real estate and commodities and bonds is a missing ingredient. And although he's concentrated equity exposure in just a handful of stocks to produce market-beating performance, it also adds significant volatility and significant market risk. Now, clearly, GG is an astute stock picker and a patient investor. And as I explained to you earlier, when he began buying Apple in the early 90s, his first purchase was in 1991. Apple was not the stock to own. That was a contrarian move. It was a high-risk move. I mean, it would be tantamount to putting your life savings on BlackBerry, you know? That's what it would be like. And that's what he did in 1991. He is not an insider. He doesn't, you know, his field of study is law. And so it's just incredible what he's done. He's also a low-frequency trader. Instead of buying and selling and buying and selling and buying and selling, he's one of the rare creatures that has been tremendously rewarded for being a long-term investor. So these are some good things that we can all learn from GG. And while his track record for picking stocks is impeccable, and it rivals the best of investors, Warren Buffett-like results, of course, at a much smaller scale, he still has some major flaws in this portfolio. It's undiversified, and it's high risk. It's not compatible with how he described himself. It's not compatible from an age perspective, 72 years old, 99% equity exposure. This is the type of asset mix that is basically cruising for a bruising. And I think he understands that. He's a smart guy. You know, I don't have to preach to the choir with GG. But now the question is, will he take the steps to, will he be motivated to fix what's wrong with his portfolio? And that's really the wild card here. You know, I can only diagnose and call it as I see it. And that's what I've done here with GG's $26.9 million portfolio report card. I've diagnosed his portfolio. I've told you the strengths and the weaknesses of what he's done. It's an incredible story of success, and it's an outlier. Don't think you can do this at home, because you probably can't. for every one GG there is, there are hundreds of thousands of losers. He just happened to pick the right lottery tickets. But the point here is that will he be motivated to protect his assets? He's done, as far as I'm concerned, with growing his money. He's got no responsibility from this point forward to grow capital. He's a tremendous grower of capital. But he's not such a tremendous defender of capital, because this particular portfolio is not defensive at all. And I think he understands that, and hopefully he will build a margin of safety into his portfolio so that he can protect his assets and still have some growth, but also pass this on to the next generation. And by the way, he's already being forced to sell some of these holdings, because his IRA, his $3.7 million IRA holds Apple, and he's 72 years old and he's got required minimum distributions. So the IRS is forcing him essentially to sell his stock and to make distributions, required distributions, every single year so as to avoid a tax penalty. So this is the kind of thing that he needs to do elsewhere in his portfolio in order to bring it back and make it compatible with who he is. If you'd like to get a portfolio report card, go to portfolioreportcard.com. I will analyze and grade your portfolio. That does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Thanks for joining us, and until we meet again, adios.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.